All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Thursday, June 8th. I'm Doug Norrie, that is.
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, here to talk Thursday baseball. Got two slates going on. We have an early afternoon starting at 12:35, and then a 7 p.m. slate. A couple teams off today, so not a full day of baseball. Well, full day if you start at noon and want to watch all day. Not a full day in terms of all the teams playing. Do you... we can break it down by early afternoon and evening, I think, is probably the best way to go here. And it looks like, I mean, I got to be honest with you, just kind of at a first glance, things look pretty cut and dry for me in terms of cash games, both early and late. I personally like when things like this line up because it kind of just makes the decisions easy, at least on our part. And I think for cash games, you want your decisions to be fairly easy just because you want them to be the obvious plays, if that makes sense. How do you feel... You know, we've had a lot of compliments in the chat room and just from user feedback and stuff, that something that goes along the lines of, you know, DFSR crushes on short slates, right? Like, we've heard a lot of this. Like, we've been doing fine on main and really just kind of been running great / super hot in baseball over the short term and really for the whole season. But
yeah, it's been a really
why do you think we hear that kind of feedback a lot, like short slates is where our money's really made? Do you think there's something to that? Do you think it's kind of just a user bias, or do you think there's a real thing when it comes to there's less games, less decisions in the system is just kind of better there?
Well, part of it is that we say we do better on short slates, and I think people just now have heard that so many times that they
believe I haven't said that. No, I'll be honest with you. I haven't said that.
We've said it on the podcast a bunch of times in the past, NBA in particular. But I think we say it also because it's true, and people are going to notice it. Like, if it were wrong, then they would say so as well, right? I think it's also because some of our people that have hit really big scores have done so on shorter slates with, you know, smaller player pools and so on. So I think there's something to it. But I think in terms of our actual edge or... the mistakes I see people who don't use our system make, I think that on short slates, the decisions are higher leverage, right? Like, if you're in the short slate today, there's one clear pitcher for me who's kind of head and shoulders above the rest of the group. And if you pick anyone else, you're giving away significant equity. So right now, the top guy in our system is Johnny Cueto. I'm talking on FanDuel. He's projected for 36 fantasy points on a $9,900 salary. The next guy is Michael Fulmer, who's at 30 points on a $9,500 salary. If you give up 5 points of expectation for $400 in salary, you start so far behind the eight ball that not that you can't win, but that's really hard to win in the long run. And so the next question is, well, are the projections accurate? Like, is Cueto an actual favorite to outscore him by 5 or more points? And I think the projections are accurate. So you take all that together, and basically anyone who moves in one of these other directions talks themselves into it because they can get more expensive bats or, you know, whatever the other rationalizations they use, particularly if they don't use a lineup optimizer of some kind, whether it's ours or not, then they just start behind the eight ball. And, you know, whereas if, say, Cueto and McCullers were on the same slate today, you could pick either and kind of get away from it. So, yeah, the mistakes you can make are bigger, and just playing tight in DFS terms really gets you further on short slates, in my experience.
Yeah, no, the decision-making like that cascades down the line, usually, especially with the guy, that's a great example between Cueto and Fulmer. And by the way, I think, yeah, we'll get into some of the numbers here in a second. I do think you can play those guys pretty safely together on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, you get a guy in Cueto who is striking out a few more batters per nine this season than for
just
his
one
career.
More than last year.
Yeah, up kind of significantly over his career, though. But it's been trending the right direction for him, right? Like, right. So he was striking out 8 per 9 last year, basically a K and inning guy at this point right now, facing a Brewers team who will strike out. They're still without Braun. They have some power in the lineup, so it's a little bit scary. You know, guys like Thames in the middle of the lineup, Hernan Perez has some power. But I do think that he ends up being pretty much the chalk, though not a universal play, because I think people will talk themselves into Fulmer. But if you had to like sort of guess at his ownership percentage on this early slate, at least for FanDuel, where do you think it would be?
For Cueto, north of 75%, maybe even higher. I mean, the chalk is so chalky these days, and by the chalk we mean it comes from horse betting, where they would write the bets on the big chalkboard in chalk. So
is that where that comes from? I never knew that. Look at me learning something from you for the first time ever. Cool.
I'm a grizzled old gambler. I'm like the guys with the machine guns in Vegas back in the 70s, Doyle Brunson, you know what I mean? but yeah, so the chalk it will be Cueto. And people, industry hive mind has gotten stronger and stronger this season. I think you'll see, I mean, 75 is probably low. It might be north of 90, to be honest with you. But anyone who doesn't play him is paying the rake. So I feel okay with that.
It'll be even higher on DraftKings, where since you have to roster two guys, you just won't be able to make a decision really for cash games where one of the guys isn't Cueto, I don't think. So he's a slight favorite here. Not a huge one. The line was a little late coming in on the Giants. I'm not exactly sure why. He's only a minus 140 right now. That's where it opens. So I'm not sure if it moves at all. Park definitely doesn't help him moving out of San Francisco into Milwaukee, where the power expectation is a little bit higher there. And the money line isn't through the roof on him, especially considering he's facing Paulo Espino, who actually, to be honest, I haven't really looked much up about Paulo Espino, though the run line, like I said, is pretty low. It's not enough to scare me off it just because it's such a short slate and you just don't need to kind of move off who's the guy who's definitely the best arm. Fulmer, on the other hand, you know, Fulmer, kind of just a guy. I don't know if like people kind of think that he's better than he really is. The ERA has been pretty low for him this year. Only he's rocking a 3 ERA. The xFIP is really closer to 4. Doesn't really strike anybody out, and doesn't appear as if that's going to change anytime soon. He's got about 200 plus innings already at only 7 Ks per 9. That's really what he's doing this season. He strikes me, like I said, as kind of just a guy. Like, there's nothing really stands out about him except that all the other guys on the slate look pretty bad. So I think putting Cueto and Fulmer together on DraftKings is probably the way to go. And do you think that those guys are just like, I mean, I can see that like being 80%, 80% or something like that on the DraftKings early.
They just don't have a lot of other great options. I mean, you know, if you're going to go in any other direction, basically you're going either off board in terms of actual skill set or bad matchup. So yeah, I can't imagine it goes in any other direction.
The Arizona-San Diego game is available on the early slate for DraftKings, is not available on the early slate for FanDuel, so just keep that in mind. Well, you'll notice when you can't pick the players for there on that team. It's like, I keep playing Goldschmidt.
Listen to this on the way into work today and get your heart super set on getting those guys in.
I'm sending an email to FanDuel because I just can't find Goldschmidt, no matter how many times I type in GLD. I looked up Paulo Espino real quick while I was kind of talking, and he also is just nothing to really write home about. Has been playing in the minors for a long time. My man has been in the minors for 10 years. he made his minor league debut in 2007 in Indians Double A, and it is just line after line of things that are happening for him in the minors. So my man has finally got out of the minors. A decade of riding on team buses. Good for him. And actually not a total underdog to guy like Cueto, which probably makes sense because the guy's got a lot of practice under his belt. I'm not really looking anywhere else for the early slate pitching, I don't think. I mean, J.C. Ramirez started off the year okay. Detroit's not really the place you want to go. Patrick Corbin, no thanks. Patrick Corbin, even against San Diego, I think I'm fine sticking with Fulmer and Cueto.
In Arizona, I'll pass.
Yeah, no thanks. On the bat side of the ball for early stacks, there's a team that kind of jumps out to you as a front runner in terms of just like where we can look for cash games.
Yeah, I mean, I think, frankly, either sides of the St. Louis-Cincinnati game look pretty good to me, but in particular, I'm keying in on the Cardinals. Scott Feldman, well, I guess I'll just make a blanket statement about both of these guys. Neither guy in this game really strikes anyone out. Feldman's had, I guess, a little bit more flirtations with success. His K numbers are actually up just a little bit this season, but the home run still plagues him. He doesn't really have anything like good stuff. His K per 9 for his career is still below 6, and he's 34 years old, so not going to scare you off there. Leek, I guess, has a little bit more of the prospect pedigree, but he's just not, frankly, really putting it together. I mean, the ERA is fine this season. The ground ball rate's fairly decent, but the K rate isn't super high. So while I guess I like the St. Louis side a little bit better, I could see stacking either sides of this game.
Yeah, people made a kind of a deal about Leek when he was running hot on ERA to start the season. What they were probably ignoring is that he was basically doing the exact same thing he did last year. He's not a bad pitcher by any means, a mid-threes or like, you know.
That's little... true. He's better than Feldman. I overstated that case.
Yeah, no, but he still doesn't strike anybody out, right? He's 6.36 Ks per 9 this season. That's really, he's just more of a ground ball pitcher. He needs to get the ground ball. That will help you in a place like Great American Ballpark where you can kind of like suppress some of the power numbers by just keeping the ball on the ground. That being said, Vegas has these two teams pretty much as a pick 'em in terms of implied runs. Like both of them are coming right around right around 4.8 implied runs right now. And that's, well, I guess Detroit kind of falls right below them. But at least for the FanDuel three-game slate, those are the highest implied run lines of the day. Guys like Carpenter. Carpenter was chalk yesterday, went yard, and then his price dropped on FanDuel. So I think you're going to see him as pretty much universal play across the industry. And then some of these other guys, Jorko. Maybe you see Tommy Pham at the top of the lineup again. He hit second yesterday, or you get Fowler back. He sat out. So Fowler did pinch hit yesterday, so I have a feeling he comes back and plays today. But yeah, stacking the St. Louis side of the ball, really, geez, I'm with you. Stacking the St. Louis side and maybe a couple other Reds guys is probably going to be the way pretty much everybody goes. On DraftKings, do you feel like you can get some of these Arizona righties in against Clayton Richard, considering the ballpark?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, the nice thing that opens up for us on DraftKings is the fact that both of our starting pitchers, neither of them are really in that top tier of pricing. I mean, Cueto is definitely more expensive than you would want to pay on any given night, but comparatively, the Arizona guys are just a little bit less expensive than they are in FanDuel. So, and I think there are more price considerations on some of the St. Louis guys as well. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to play Goldschmidt today. He would be a guy I would be thrilled to get in any lineup. And I guess I'm sorry, I'm comparing him to FanDuel, but he's not even on the early slate on FanDuel. So again, don't email your friends at FanDuel asking for where
those guys are. I still can't find Goldschmidt.
They will not email you back, probably. Unless you're a VIP like Doug, and then they might. Just saying. but yeah, I think that's great. There's this slate. I mean, I feel strongly enough about this slate. I think I would feel good about these lineups if this were a full day of baseball. And so that leads me to believe that this might be a really, really profitable early slate here.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. That if you feel comfortable with these stacks, even in the sea of, you know, all the games, then a really good sign, or like just kind of good marker to use. I mean, look, you shouldn't use feelings to define like what you do on a...
Unless your feelings are deadly accurate like ours.
that's true. My God, what James feels just always happens. It's insane. The guy has insane feelings.
I'm like the Pacoda of feelings. Just when I feel something, it is.
Before we get to the evening slate of games, tell us about our new sponsor.
Ooh, we have a new sponsor. It's called Phantom Mana, aka In-Game Fantasy. So what this is actually a brand new take on daily fantasy sports. And the really cool thing about it is that it blends daily fantasy as we know it, you know, drafting a new team every single night, with actual real-life baseball. So the way it works is, as the slate starts, so you actually don't do anything before lock. As the slate starts, when you're inside the Phantom Mana app, you'll see a scroll of guys who are about to take their next plate appearance, right? So you'll see at the beginning of the 7:05 slate, a whole stream of guys who are probably the leadoff hitters for their team. You can pick one of those guys or not. If you pick one of those guys, you get the results of their at-bat just in the same way you would in a real-life baseball game. So if you pick Alcides Escobar, Doug, and he goes out there and raps out a single, or grinds out to second base, whatever the case may be, then you'll see a little baseball diamond, and just like you're watching a live box score on ESPN or wherever else, you'll see him on first base. And then you repeat that process for, I think, 3 innings is their normal contest, although they may be adding longer contests soon. So yeah, you just keep picking batters. If your batters keep getting on base, you just keep picking. You enter a contest with a certain number of players, and whoever scores in the top whatever percent based on the type of contest wins, just very similar to regular DFS contest in that way. But it's actually really fun. You're basically a manager of every player in Major League Baseball, and you can pick who bats for your team and who doesn't. Great way to get an edge, or there are great ways to get edges. I mean, you can actually just sit there and just keep picking all 4 Paul Goldschmidt at-bats, all 4 Mike Trout at-bats. There's a lot of little fun things you can do with Phantom Mana, so check them out. Like I said, it's the In-Game Fantasy app, but you can also go to Phantom Mana, spelled like banana with an F and an M in it. That was a really bad description. PhantomMana.com. Use promo code DFSR. You'll get a little deposit bonus. And actually, Jason from Phantom Mana is going to be in our chat room tonight talking about Phantom Mana and hosting a DFSR exclusive contest. So hope to see you in the chat tonight and hope to see you inside the Phantom Mana app soon because they're pretty sweet.
Yeah, Phantom Mana is one of those apps, and I love it. I think it's great when you're sitting around watching baseball. It's also one of those apps where I'm like, where was this 10 years ago, too, when like I didn't have a wife and kids, and I was just watching just hours and hours of baseball every night? No, it's a great app. If you're watching games, it's actually the perfect sort of companion app for kind of just being able to actively even root harder for
Oh, yeah, when your FanDuel and DraftKings lineups are dead in the water and you just want to keep getting another sweat and another sweat and another sweat, Phantom Man is perfect for that.
Yeah, so yeah, go check them out, and we'll be in the chat room tonight talking about it also, so also a good chance to check it out as well. Anyway, Phantom Mana, really excited to have them on board as sponsors. The evening slate of games is doesn't seem as cut and dry to me as the early slate, well, mostly because, one, there's more teams playing. There doesn't seem to be maybe as clear cut, maybe just an offensive team is probably what I'm looking at. That might be only part of my uncertainty here. The pitching is kind of cut and dry. Do you see McCullers as being, do you think McCullers will be the chalk here?
I don't see how he isn't. I mean, he was the chalk starter, I think, well, not super, super chalk, but he was 45%, I think, the last time he went out there, and that was in a full slate. He wasn't great, actually. He didn't make it through five innings against Texas, but I think that he'll be in a much better spot here tonight. Kansas City, while they don't strike out a ton, they also are kind of a high floor option for opposing pitchers in that they don't make a lot of hard contact. They actually don't walk a ton either, so, you know, good spot for McCullers to go deep into the game. And I think, especially given the lack of other options, which is kind of the elephant in the room here on a really, really small slate, very similar to Cueto on the early slate where it's hard to imagine playing anyone else in cash games.
Yeah, that last start aside, McCullers has been great this season. 10.5 Ks per nine and has cured or has begun to cure what was his biggest issue last year, which was the insane amount of walks he was giving up. Like last year, he was close to 12 Ks per nine, but then 5 walks per nine over 81 innings. This year, he's cut that almost in half, 2.71 walks per nine. The xFIP is all the way down to 2.68, which is about as good as you'll see in the league, really, for anybody. These are... we have Chris Sale there and some other guys, so these aren't like definitive Cy Young numbers, but they're getting close to those sort of the markers that you want to hit to just kind of be a Cy Young award winner. McCullers is getting there, and he's also really helped in cutting down the walks. Has obviously translated to him be able to just go a little bit deeper in games. I don't think he went five innings last game, which is his shortest start of the season, but this is the spot for him against a weak hitting Royals team. I think that you're correct. He'll be not the overwhelming chalk. There are a few other guys to consider here, but he'll definitely be the highest owned player on both slates. After him, either for starting pitching two, or I think there probably are a couple of ways to pivot off McCullers, at least for tournaments here tonight. Where else can we look?
For tournaments, I'll give it to you there. Well, yeah, and obviously on DraftKings, you're not going to be able to start McCullers and McCullers, although that would be pretty sweet. You'll have to go a little cheaper. And actually, the DraftKings, I was confident as I was about the early slate on DraftKings. The late slate does look a little bit dicier to me. Right now, actually, our system is spitting out Michael Pineda, which doesn't feel fantastic, honestly, against Boston in New York. But the reason there is the price, right? I mean, well, it's a combination of two things. The first being the price, and the second being the fact that Pineda's been pretty good this season. So, you know, he's a good pitcher, and it's not a great park, and it's not a great opponent. But if you're comparing him against your other options and you only have to pay $8,200 for him, maybe you talk yourself into it. I don't know. When you see a name like Pineda on our DraftKings optimal lineups, how do you feel?
I feel like I want to go into the system and figure out a way to get him out of it. That's kind of how I feel about it.
And he's been good. I mean, 9.3 Ks per nine, 2 walks per nine. Like, he's been very good this season. It's just, man, what a matchup and what a park to
trot him out there. Well, the system's perpetually bullish. It's always bullish on him because his K numbers are about as good as you'll ever find in this price range, right? But the reason he stays in the price range is because he has problems giving up the long ball. Now, it hasn't been as big of a problem this season as it was. It was really crushing him like last year. It hasn't really been. I take that back. Home run the fly ball rate is actually up for him.
It's actually been terrible for him this season.
Yeah, never mind. He's been so much better. I think I was translating some early season that it wasn't as big of a problem early season. It has been now onto what I thought was happening. Now, is the home runs are killing him. And he's basically just like a two true outcome guy. He's like strikeouts or home runs. And it's a really big problem for him in pitching in Yankee Stadium because it's really easy to turn fly balls into home runs in right field for them. So
especially against left-handed bats, and the Red Sox have a couple.
Now, the Red Sox don't have a ton of left-handed power. They have Benintendi, and I guess they have Moreland, and that's really kind of in terms of just like real lefty power. But I don't know. This does not seem like it's not a safe spot by any means. And I think what will probably happen is, like, this is a case where I get why the system is doing it. It's doing it on the average performances over the entire season, probably of what Pineda could stand to do against the Red Sox here at this price. I don't think I'm willing to probably do it on a one-off, at least for cash games, because it just doesn't seem like the price, especially because it's pretty easy to pivot to a guy like Odorizzi, who does not have the K numbers of Pineda.
But I mean, let's be clear. Odorizzi is just worse, right? He's a,
he's clearly worse. He's not as good of a pitcher. I'm not going to make the contention that he is as good of a pitcher as Pineda. He's not. But he has all the reason they're so close in projections here, and they are pretty close. Like, they're about a point off, but Odorizzi is $1,000 cheaper on DraftKings. The reason is all the other contextual factors are making it much better for Odorizzi. So he's got a much better park pitching in Tampa Bay tonight. He has a much better matchup against the White Sox, who've been pretty bad against righty pitching this season. And while he is clearly worse, strikes out less guys, worse xFIP. I mean, okay, so at what point does context versus like actual stuff make a difference here? Because I think that's the question is, Pineda has much better stuff. Odorizzi has all the other factors working for him. Like, which one should win out in this case, you think?
Well, you want to balance everything, right? It's, this is the tricky thing about DFS and what makes it so hard, because it's a combination of the actual pitcher talent, the park, the opponent, the likelihood that they'll win the game or not, your other options, the price, what bats you can get if you pay lower prices. You know, there's a lot of moving parts and it's very, very complicated. I would say in this particular case, Odorizzi, I think his floor winds up being just a little bit higher because the matchup is so good. The White Sox have already been one of the worst teams in the league against right-handed pitching, and you get them out of Comerica and into Tampa Bay, and that's a really dramatic drop-off in terms of parks. Tampa Bay also hurts Odorizzi. Like, Odorizzi's funny because his ERA has been under his xFIP for 3 years in a row, and I think that's because he's a pretty dramatic fly ball pitcher pitching in a park where it's tough for his opponents to hit home runs. And so you put those factors together, I think Odorizzi is one of the guys who we can trust the ERA just a little bit more than the xFIP. Maybe it's probably the truth lies somewhere in the middle there. But I think if you're just looking for a high floor, you want Odorizzi. If you want high upside, he's not even in the conversation. So, on the price, maybe he is in the conversation. I guess strictly in terms of raw points output, we have Pineda and Odorizzi as somewhat close. But I think in their normal distribution of outcomes, Odorizzi's kind of cluster around the 16.5 we have him for on DraftKings, where I could see Pineda having sub-10 some nights and 20-plus other nights. So, kind of depends on your goals and kind of depends on whether you think you can pay up 10-8 for McCullers instead.
This is the other thing too. Like, just in terms of for cash game, it's like what the rest of the industry is going to do. I see almost no chance that people are playing Pineda in cash games. Like, that, I don't think there's any reason to take that risk. I will say it is interesting. He is a favorite here against David Price. It's not by much, but it's by enough. Like, this, I don't know. Price's pedigree would have made me think that this would be at minimum a pick 'em, or if not, on favor of the Red Sox side of the ball a little bit. Yankees have been pretty good with the bats this season, so maybe that's part of it too. But Pineda is a -116. It'll be interesting to see if that line moves. Odorizzi is -160 against the White Sox. I do think you end up seeing him as sort of the chalk cash game guy. System kind of also, for his price, likes John Lester. I don't know if that is a place where we would want to go. Obviously price matters. The sites put these annoying little things called salaries next to guys' names, and when people are asking,
not fan of Anna, baby, head over there and play anyone you want.
Good point. But McCullers at 11.2 does cost you a pretty penny. You get a guy like Lester at sub-10. Gets Colorado outside of Coors, which is obviously helpful, but his numbers have not been so inspiring this year. He's struggled a little bit to the point where he kind of made me want to go back and just kind of look at his projection that we have for him here and just make sure it's correct. Is there any reason to play Lester here against a Colorado team that, clearly outside of Coors is much worse?
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for it. I guess it's a question of, like, so sometimes Wrigley Field plays just like a regular park, and sometimes it plays like a Arizona's ballpark, say. It doesn't really get up to the Coors level, but when the wind is blowing out, things can get pretty tough on the pitchers there. Lester is good. I mean, he's still a good pitcher. He's just not quite as good as people perceive, and I think his price is inflated as a result. So, yeah, I think actually on FanDuel, the $9,500 price tag is very reasonable for him. On DraftKings, I think it's a little tighter for me. I don't feel quite as good about it there. The 9,700, yeah, it's only 200 more, but you have less salary to work with and you need to roster two pitchers. So, it's close up, but given that if we're talking Lester or Pineda, I'll take Pineda Lester in a heartbeat, right? Just on the basis of matchup in a National League ballpark alone. If we're talking Lester or like McCullers, I think I'd lean in the McCullers direction. All of it's very close though.
Lester's problem this season has been the walks. His walk rate, he's kind of been for his career sub-3, and it really been much better over the last three years. Yeah, no, some of that career numbers left over from time in Boston where the walks were a problem for him, they're actually creeping back up to being a problem again. It's like his walk rate for the last three seasons has been right around 2 per 9. Now it's up over 3 per 9. That's over 71 innings. I mean, clearly it's something you can control, pun intended, if you kind of figure something out. It is a little bit concerning, though, to see that walk rate climb up again for him, especially for a guy who struggled with it early in his career. So
For Lester, everything went right for him last season, right? So, like, when people look at Lester and they see, like, the inflated ERA this season and they see this slight change to his peripherals, they're going to be pretty discouraged. But last season, like, he went 19-5, total joke, nowhere near his expectation. He had an 85% left on base rate, which is 12% higher than his career. He had a 70 points or a BABIP 70 points less than this season. Like, everything went in his favor, the 2.44 ERA, the Cy Young discussions, etc. He's just not that good. Like, he's just a good pitcher, and even a very good pitcher, but not one of these top tier ace level guys. I mean, the nice thing is we don't really have to pay those prices for him anymore, but yeah, just temper your expectations on him. Don't suspect that you're getting an ace at 9,500. You're just getting someone who's good. And oftentimes that's good enough, but you know, just go in with your eyes open.
Okay. Before we get out of here, let's talk some stacks for the evening slated games. You know, we mentioned a bunch of good pitchers going today that kind of does sometimes cut down on some of the options on the other side of the ball. Where can we look to start either for cash games, putting some, you know, maybe one team over others, or is there a way you can go in cash games or tournaments today for stacking in the evening?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, we do have some good pitchers, but it's not like we have any of those top tier arms that cost 12,000. So it actually opens up a lot of options for us. The first place I'm going to look is actually McCullers teammates out in Houston. So Houston this season, it's pretty well known by this point, but they're leading the majors in hitting against right-handed pitching with a 352 WOBA and an 825 OPS. They're just raking the ball against righties. And so anytime they're going to face a righty, your ears should perk up a little bit. Your eyeballs should perk up. Some parts of you should perk up whenever they're...
Oh, why don't you describe all the parts that should perk up?
Okay, baby, like... Yeah, well. Most of your ears and eyes and your mouse finger.
There you go. All right.
And yeah, so they're up against Jason Hamill tonight. Hamill's a really interesting pitcher to go up against because just a kind of a classic case of slow decline for him, where he's always been sort of average. And when you're sort of average, and average is good, by the way, right? Average is like a third starter on a team. But as you get older, Hamill's now in his almost age 35 season. Things have started to decline a little bit. The walks are up. The strikeouts are down. The home run to fly ball is as high as it's ever been just because he gives up so many fly balls in the first place. And if he's going to give up that many fly balls and give up this level of hard contact, well, a team stacked with lefty power like the Astros and just like young talents like Altuve and Springer, they can take advantage of this. So I really, really like the Astros tonight. They're also pretty affordable, like, you know, as compared to on a given night where, you know, if you are paying $13,000 for Kershaw or something, you might not be able to get them all in there. Tonight, with paying just $97 for McCullers on FanDuel, that should give you room to kind of get your pick of them. So I'm really looking forward to running those guys out there. You know, Reddick is in the conversation for me as well. McCann, whoever's starting for them at catcher. Yeah, it's just a great spot.
No, I'm with you that they'll probably be the more popular stack, especially if you're not going to completely break the bank with pitching. A couple other teams that I do like if you're going to pivot away. Derek Holland, look, Tampa Bay is not a great place for hitters. Derek Holland is a good place for hitters to face, though. It's kind of like, which one do you want to choose here? I think I'm going to err on the side of the Rays here. Holland has been awful. Right, so he is only 63 innings this year, 5x FIP. Don't be fooled by the 3.43 ERA. That is completely smoke and mirrors. He's walking close to 4 guys per 9. He's been running super hot on BABIP, which has kept the ERA down. He's real bad. And you're going to get a team in the Rays who do play matchups, especially with their platoons. You could see Souza possibly hit leadoff. You could see Weeks move up the lineup a little bit. You could see Beckham move up the lineup. They'll play platoons, but they have not been completely consistent in what their lineups have been from game to game, so it's a little hard to predict where they're going to go. That being said, we're going to know in plenty of time, and any one of those righties that is going to move up the lineup, I think you're in a really good spot with them, and I'm willing to sacrifice a little, or kind of a lot on the ballpark power just because I think the matchup is... I just think the matchup against Holland is good enough, and I think you're going to get guys... I think you're just going to get a couple guys cheaper at the top of the lineup, especially in the right side of their platoons. Anywhere else? I have one other team, but I don't know if you have anyone else.
No, I like the Rays thing. I think you made a good point, too, about the simple fact that it's going to be hard for them to put up outsized numbers in Tampa Bay, but that always gets, you know, that's a little tricky to look at, because home runs do get hit in Tampa Bay occasionally, right? And Derek Holland, with his extremely low ground ball rate and complete lack of strikeout stuff at this point, a great candidate to get crushed there. As I'm looking up and down the rest, like, I kind of like the Nationals tonight. I mean, they... let me see here. Yeah, right. So I just slipped my mind who they were up against. So they're up against Alec Asher. Alec Asher, if you're following along at home, is a guy that we've reviled on the podcast and in articles over and over again. I feel bad for the guy. He's made his major league dream. Probably a really nice guy, but just not a guy that I'm scared at all about when it comes to stacking up against him. 27 innings with the Phillies last season. He had 4 Ks per 9, which is so low. And this season, that's up to 6.75, which, you know, is probably actually running a little bit hot if you look at his minor league numbers, where he oftentimes had difficulties, you know, even touching that number. His last stint was a sub-6 stint at AAA. So, yeah, I really like going up against Alec Asher. He's another guy who gives up a lot of fly balls. Pretty friendly place to hit tonight for them, too. So, yeah, any of those left-handed Nationals bats, I really, really like Harper tonight. He's somewhat affordable on FanDuel at just 4,700. But, yeah, you can just go up and down that lineup if you're stacking for big tournaments in particular and do pretty well for yourself.
You probably have to give up a little bit in terms of pitching to get some of their bigger bats in, just because they're really trending to be a little bit expensive. The last team I'll throw out there coming on the cheap is actually the Phillies. So R.A. Dickey this year. Yeah. R.A. Dickey, man, I don't know if you've looked at R.A. Dickey's numbers, but they are awful. This guy, like, he's striking at, don't even look, I'm just going to read them to you. 4.4 Ks per nine, 4.68 walks per nine, walking more batters than he's striking out. The ERA is creeping up. The ERA is over 5. The XFIP is creeping towards 6. He's probably, I mean, I haven't taken too long of a look at R.A. Dickey this year, thank goodness, but he's slowly entering the conversation of, is he the worst pitcher in baseball with an everyday gig? It's not quite there yet. There's plenty of other bums out there that all their ears just perked up and said, well, hold on a second. You know, Bronson Arroyo of the world and Dylan Covey's of the world. But these numbers, when you're walking, when you spend 65 innings walking more batters than you've struck out, then something has gone completely haywire. And it makes sense, too, because the knuckleball, he's lived on the knuckleball for his career, and it looks like he's probably just dying on the knuckleball now. People just aren't swinging at it the same way, and he's just getting absolutely crushed. The Phillies are not a good offensive team, but they're coming very cheap here. So if you want to play like a guy like Herrera, I mean, Alther, he should be hitting third. Even guys like Joseph and Franco on the right, they're on the wrong side of their splits, but I'm just kind of fine with it. Saunders at 2,600 as well. I think there's a lot. The Phillies are a nice way to save if you're going to pay up for a guy like McCullers, just because they're in such a good spot against Dickey. Again, they're not a good team. Like, you've probably made money if you played the pitchers against Philly this season for most of the season. But this is a situation where I think I'm just fine rostering some of those guys.
A guy who could get absolutely run out of the game. Dickey has got to top your list basically anytime he pitches. Although I think, to be fair, if you went back to 2012, I think the Blue Jays still make that trade. It's not like Wilmer Brucera really did anything for the
Mets. Well, Travis d'Arnaud was in that trade, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'm just joking, dude. So is Noah Syndergaard.
Oh, shoot. I totally forgot. You got me thrown.
It's probably the worst trade of all time. Like, it's a really, really, really bad trade.
I feel like such an idiot that I forgot about Syndergaard.
You got baited, boy.
I might delete this out of the podcast while I'm editing. All right, we're from DFSR.com. Head over to the site, DFSR.com/MLB. We'll get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system for baseball that's been absolutely crushing it this season. And if you could also, if you're in the iTunes store, rate and review the podcast. It always helps us to grab a review here and there, help boost us up the iTunes chart. So if you're over there, rate and review, preferably 4 or 5 stars, but also we value honesty as well. So just give it whatever honest.
I don't value your honesty. If you want to give us less than 4 stars, please do not leave a review. That's mine.
Good point. All right, we'll see you again. We'll be talking more baseball tomorrow, Friday. Buddy, enjoy your Thursday.
I will, Doug.